Hey, welcome to our podcast. This is Bad Playstyle. Bad Playstyle is a book club podcast where we all sit down and play the same game. And hopefully you have played the same game at home so that you can be intellectually engaged with our conversation.
Not psychically savaged by the infinite spoiler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to spoil every game that we set out to play. And any games that come up, I don't know, we'll probably fucking spoil them too, so check the show notes before you listen to an episode if you don't want to get blindsided by us mentioning off the cuff that, I don't know, Paul Ryan is Atlas.
We're here again.
I sound different.
Yeah, Matt is sick.
Yeah. He's got a sick man voice. Oh, yeah. I've been describing it on bad days as James Earl Jones ate a cigarette factory. Okay. Or the surrogate from Breaking Bad. Or not Breaking Bad, Arrested Development.
Yeah, but his is like a wheezy, like almost like he had a tracheotomy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like a bad There's cigarette. Something wrong with his throat. Yeah. But, like, that's good days, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's a good show.
Actually, that was a really
No,
good
I'm not talking to you. Exactly. I'm talking to the doofus with the hat. Hey.
Don't say that. So.
What's the name of the show?
Yeah, what is the name of the show?
It's Bad Playstyle.
Why is it called Bad Playstyle?
Because we're all really bad at video games, mm-hmm. and also because that's not really possible.
We play video games wrong.
Yeah, then that's not a real thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, fair enough.
Okay. What is on the docket this week, Owen?
We played Oxenfree this week.
We played Oxenfree, and by we mean your name is Owen.
Yeah, I played.
Say hi, Owen.
Hi, my name is Owen. Okay. I played Oxenfree.
My name is Matt. I played Oxenfree.
My name is Keenan, and I also played Oxenfree.
All right, and then who are you? We have a special guest this week.
Hi, I'm Elise. I also play Oxenfree. It was kind of amazing.
Why'd you do that?
This is Gabe. He didn't play Oxenfree.
Yeah.
Gabe won't talk. Gabe's not a person.
Gabe is a dog. This is good radio.
Gabe is a dog.
Yeah. Gonna play Don't one. Lick my face.
So, yes, there is a dog in the room. He's not talking to any of us about that. But Oxenfree was brought about because Owen was playing it and said, hey, this is cool.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat in on one of his little gaming sessions and went, holy crap, this looks amazing. Can I play? And he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Play. So, I tried playing it, and now I'm on the plus one game.
Yeah, New Game Plus.
New Game Plus.
Yeah. A time-honored tradition.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
You want to do that again, but worse?
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about the New Game Plus. It's kind of like, oh, okay, thank you for that. You know, there's a little flicker of shadows, games past, and I don't know if I want to do something else now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Keenan, what have you been playing lately, man?
Since
the last time we talked, what have you been playing?
Since the last time we talked,
what are you playing, man?
I'm still playing Rainbow Six Siege.
Okay.
I'm still playing some Warframe with you.
Okay.
And I'm playing the hit new phone game, WWE Champions.
Now tell me about, because we know about Rainbow Six Siege.
Mm-hmm.
That's that game that's a ripoff of
Due Process. We talked about this last
week.
Yeah. And then we know about Warframe. That's the game with the, how do you say it, Owen?
Space Swords.
That's the game with the Space Swords.
Space Swords. Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So, was it, you've been playing...
Space Swords.
No, we weren't talking about it. We were talking about WWE with...
Champions.
Before we went and saw the movie, you said...
So it's Bejeweled and wrestling.
Okay.
What?
But the important part for us was that the wrestlers still...
They still eat each other.
They still consume the flesh of other wrestlers.
Yeah. No. That's not quite how it works. But that's the gist of it.
All right.
You can feed a copy of one wrestler to himself, and he gets bigger.
Okay.
And bigger wrestlers, better wrestler, obviously.
Biggest wrestler is best wrestler.
And then they get prions building up, and they get mad wrestler disease.
It's important.
Mad wrestler.
It makes them better in the ring, and helps you in the bejeweled aspect of the game.
All right.
I think I need to see this at some point. I don't know if I have to play it.
I can show you. It's ridiculous.
Like, it's a phone game.
We can just whip it out after the show.
Oh, boy.
what was your mind going to? It was talking about phones.
Okay. Oh, what have you been playing lately, man?
I've been playing a few things. I bought a game.
The word deep dive is going to come up a few times.
Yeah. I bought an early access game that's barely a game right now. I bought a game called Stable Orbit, and it's about building your own modular space station. And you start with like a space, like a station core, just like a soda can with solar panels on it. And you have a bit of money, and you can buy modules to like bolt on laboratories and habitats and stuff like that, and like a little docking port for a spacecraft to come up. And they come up and they bring you food and astronauts, and you have to give them work. But also your space station heats up from being hit by the sun all the time, so you have to put radiators on. And if you don't, parts of your station break and astronauts die.
It's just like real life.
Yeah. But it's like a super early access game. The gameplay of it's not very deep, but it looks very nice.
Okay.
It has a very loud soundtrack that you can't turn off in the options.
It's a feature.
It's that early access.
So like at a system level, I just had to mute the game after a while. And like one of the, it's like the fifth or sixth song.
Was the soundtrack repetitive or was it just loud?
It's loud and, I actually like the music, but it is loud and repetitive. And okay. Also like the sixth song has singing in it. That I found a little grating, and then when I was like looking online, I was like, man, fuck this last song, I don't like it. And I found people online in the forums like, hey, in this game, developer, can you get rid of the song with the shitty singing on it? And like, the developer responds in the comments, he's like, so I make this game by myself, that's me singing. yeah, I mean, I'll think about it. I felt like a monster finding this thread, like... Dude's like putting himself out there.
I mean, like you're not posting that thread, so you're not the monster.
Yeah, but I still felt like a jerk for thinking it.
For agreeing. Yeah, that song sucked. Oh, shit.
Yeah. And like honestly, he's it's not that he's not a talented singer; it's just not my thing. So I played a little bit of that, and that game is actually kind of punishingly hard, and not that rewarding. So that's a game I'm gonna kind of put on the shelf and like maybe check it out again in like a year or 6 months.
What was that game called again?
It's called Stable Orbit.
Stable Orbit.
I've been playing Kentucky Route Zero, which is, yeah, it's like a really surreal, like, magical realism, like...
You're in a cave, not a cave.
Yeah.
Is it Plato's cave?
I don't think that's the reference they're making.
Okay.
No,
well, because that, like, Plato's cave didn't have a lot of bears in it.
Okay.
There are bears in the cave? Don't give it away, spoiler.
That's not a spoiler. That's not a spoiler.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a really weird game. You're like a dude who's supposed to deliver some antiques to an address in Kentucky that he doesn't know how to find, and people tell him that he needs to go into a mythical underground highway to get there. And you
seem legit
and see a lot of strange things. It's like it's kind of like playing through like Twin Peaks or something.
Sure.
So that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a very strange game, and it has a gorgeous visual aesthetic that like looks like flat 2D graphics, but is 3D rendered. And like every once in a while, they do these like really cool rotations. And like there's one part where you're like in a house, and you're bringing this woman this antique television, and you turn it on. And when you turn it on, the planks in the wall... I'm gesturing with my hands for, like, no good reason. But the planks in the wall begin to, like... They begin to, like, peel apart. And you can, like, see this barn with horses behind it. Weird. And, like, later you find out that the entrance to the Zero is underneath that barn. Yeah.
Sounds like a fever dream.
Yeah, it really is. It's a strange game.
All right, man.
I really like it. And then...
So, Kentucky Route Zero and...
Stable Orbit, and then I started playing a lot of Kerbal Space Program again. That's a game I've...
This is where the deep dive comes in.
Yeah, so I've put 1,000 hours into playing Kerbal Space Program, but 1,000 hours since the game came to Steam. I played a fair bit of it before that. That's a very good game. Well, you'll hear more about it from me as time goes on, I'm sure. It's a spaceflight physics simulator.
Well, so it's like a theme here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big space nerd. Yeah.
Me, Mr. Matt, sick guy.
Hey, Matt, what games have you been playing?
Yeah, hey, Matt, what games have you been playing?
Mr. Oh, Cigarette Robert. Jones here.
Yeah, Cigarette Jones, that's awesome.
Oh, take it.
I don't think I can, like, take it and run with that, but in the moment.
Yeah. You're Cigarette Jones tonight.
So, well, so it was mostly... Oxenfree and Skyrim, which thanks for that.
Oh yeah, that's like a virus that went around.
That was like a head cold because it was like seriously like People are like, oh yeah, Skyrim, and then like you played it for like 2 weeks.
Well, it wasn't that. It was like a week and a half.
Or something. And then I'm still playing it. And then our other friends are like, oh yeah, man, like do you have some ideas and some good Skyrim mods I should download? I'm just like, just go to the workshop. Like,
yeah,
go away, go look.
yeah, Brian got it too.
Yeah.
I've avoided it.
Been playing Skyrim. He's been yelling at me about playing Skyrim.
I keep walking out in the living room, and be like, "Damn it, you're gonna make me play this."
Yeah. Still just janky as ever.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever been a werewolf before. I really liked it, except for I couldn't pick things up. Like
those thumbs. They just
well, no, because I did this dungeon. They were like, okay, so in this dungeon, this is like the tutorial dungeon. We're gonna teach you how to be a werewolf, right? Like turn into a werewolf. Kill everybody. And I was like, fuck, great, yeah. So I kill everybody, but like, so for me, the loop when I kill someone is like, kill them, watch their body ragdoll and fall to the floor. Jam E! Because I gotta go kill this other guy, but I'm not gonna remember what his body is later, but I need all of his things. Sure. So it's just like, strip this dude of all of his worldly possessions in an instant as his body falls to the floor, then run to the next guy and, like, beat him up and do the same thing. But as a werewolf, you can't do that. You, like, kill him and it does this cool animation, and then I'm like, oh. And then I hit tab to open my inventory, and it's like, would you like to upgrade your werewolf powers? And I'm like, no, because this blows. I can't steal his stuff.
Like, werewolves don't care about worldly possessions.
So, like, my guy's a werewolf, but it's not, like, a thing that comes up ever.
Like, you wouldn't put it on your resume.
Right, yeah, you wouldn't be like, special skills, werewolf.
First
like,
date, you're not mentioning that.
Like, special skills, will hit you with a shield. You don't talk about the werewolf.
Lycanthropy doesn't define me.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not, like, interested in doing the whole, like, cure lycanthropy thing, because I've done that.
Been there.
Yeah, done that. Interesting, I'm wearing another werewolf skin as clothes, so that's neat.
That's pretty metal.
The thing I love about Skyrim conversations is you, no matter what type of character you're playing, are just describing a really weird serial killer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no matter what. Yeah, just take out these coins. I love when
Bethesda Grimms try to take the high road. They're like, oh, killing is wrong. It's like, I've literally murdered like 300 people. Like, on the way here. anyway, playing that, small amount of Warframe, because they're doing like a Valentine's Day. That's the holiday.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of Glitterman Grove, which was hard.
Like 3 minutes of it.
That was hard. Yeah. And then,
hardest RTS of 2017.
I love that it's called Glittermitten Grove, and it's about building a fairy forest.
Is it what now, please?
Glittermitten Grove.
Glitter wants to know.
It is a city management game where you manage a small community of fairies that tend to a grove of trees where you collect berries and lumber.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, you come out with berries, lumber, crystal, and sparkles.
Sparkles. Sparkles, yes. Crystals.
That's my favorite
thing. Dude, it's really deep and hard and annoying. And, like, I ran out of crystals.
There's a lot of rules.
And there was no way to get more crystals. And I was like, well, we're fucked.
And Owen was like, don't put too much stuff on a tree branch because it'll fall.
So, like, you can only place buildings on trees. But you can, like, break the tree branches. And you have to put up these prisms to collect sparkles.
Yay!
But the prisms have to have sunlight hitting them. And if there's, like, big trees in the way, you have to prune their branches so the sun hits your prisms. And if you put your prisms in the wrong place, they don't get, like, it's like...
Okay,
so that's, literally, that's I played Glittermitten Grove for 3 minutes. I'm mad.
You're a dude. And I don't, probably why. You're not a pretty
fairy. No, there's a secret about this game.
Whoa. No, yes. This is the person who at work gets, like, 8-year-olds fired up about how they don't have enough pockets on their clothes.
Fair enough.
Right? Like,
at least we can set you up with Glittermitten Grove, too.
Yeah.
We have it.
No, it's great. It's awful.
We tell her about...
No.
No?
We don't mention anything.
Let me struggle through on my own. Yeah.
No, there's a thing in there. That's all.
Okay. Well, but, so Glittermitten Grove, and then I'm doing a little Hitman. I want to do... I was starting this earlier. I was just going to see... If I could just, because I remember in Blood Money, when you upgrade your stuff that has nothing to do with actually completing the game the way it's like meant to be completed, you just create this like murderous arsenal.
Yeah,
you know,
it's terrifying.
And then every so often, you're like, I wonder if I can kill everybody in that entire level. Hmm. And then you you know. So I haven't done that in the new Hitman yet. So okay. I want to see like if I can get away with that, like just cleaning Paris, like the whole thing.
Mm. That one's dense.
Yeah, it's dense. It's a well, but like because you can bring down the like chandelier on the catwalk.
Oh no, I'm not.
That's like a ton of people.
I'm not and, saying like, there's not ways to do it.
I can bring like two different explosives. There's plenty of firearms I can source on site.
There's a lot of
like,
people at that party.
Well, and
man.
Then like if push comes to shove, you can just back yourself into a bathroom and like
yeah,
and like rip a clip.
Yeah, yeah. And like honestly, once I get rid of all the guns on the level, like once I've quarantined all the guns in my possession, like. It's open season.
I wonder
right?
if like, the civilians like run out of the map, or yeah, they like, just run to the corners. Because
remember,
or something
in Blood Money, they couldn't run out of the map. There was nowhere for them to do that. Like, so you'd get to a point when you're doing
they're
this type
running
of thing where you had all the guns were yours.
Okay.
And there was nothing you could do about that. And like NPCs couldn't melee stuff.
Right.
So,
and their
like,
AI doesn't want to pick up a gun anyway.
Well, they would do that. There would be heroes. Like if you come into a room and you're like, everybody freeze, and you're like pointing a gun at the whole crowd. If you're not pointing a gun directly at this guy over here, he's gonna be like, there's a gun over there. And he would like run over and like pick it up and start blasting you. But he's you know like a maitre d'.
Right.
There's
no aiming. Yeah. Interesting.
But that could, AI hook. That could put you in some pickles because like if you
there's
were down
three
to,
heroes in a room,
it would yeah. And if you were down to your last like little smidgen of health,
yeah.
it could get you.
Yeah.
But Blood Money had the three headshots in your back end thing. So yeah. Anyway, that's what we've been playing. That's what we've been playing. Special guest.
Hi.
What have you been playing?
Oxenfree. Yeah. Absolutely love this game in that I've never experienced anything like it before, gaming-wise. And when I say gaming, I'm talking about, like, I'm old-school gamer, not new-fangled toggle and flippy and twisty thing, you know, like those things.
You can't see it, but I'm making a face.
Control. Well, I'm twisting things, so you should be making a face. Anyway.
Control while I'm twisting things. Got it.
The controllers and whatnot. As soon as it got to two toggly joystick things, I was like, and I'm out. Thank you.
Yes.
Because I would be playing Halo or something with my little brother, who's schooling me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm running away while turning, either looking at the sky or looking down at the ground because I can't figure out how to make the head turn.
And he just bops
so,
you.
Yeah, no, he just shoots me and the screen goes red. And I'm just like, thanks, brother. So it's pretty sad. That's
doesn't even have this ability to punch you.
No, he's pretty brutal, but that's okay. So now when I get to play something like this, it's beautiful. It
mm-hmm.
seriously looks like, Owen has said this, a watercolor painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree. If you want to make that your screensaver, go for it. And then when you see the up-close pictures of the characters, so cute.
Yep.
Just so cute.
Yep.
Just, I mean,
yep.
happy. Love that. And it also has that dark, kind of morbid, spooky, otherworldly feel to it, too, which I think is a fun juxtaposition, you know? So it's kind of like, hey, we're going to go be teenagers, and I can be an asshole if I want to be
mm-hmm.
to you, and then
sure.
maybe we'll make up in the end. And
did you get into the asshole teenager role-playing? Did you get into that? Or
I was kind of more the snarky than like the straight-up bitch, you know? Yeah.
Do we want to give a rundown for our two listeners what...
Oh, yes, all two of them. Which
we've named them.
We named them, too. Our two listeners. What are their names, fellas?
It's Trevor and Corey.
Yeah.
How'd you get that wrong? It's Corey and Trevor.
Okay.
So, Oxenfree is a game where you are a young woman named Alex, who is in high school, and you are going to the spooky island where teenagers go to drink and presumably fuck or make out.
Whatever teenagers want to do.
All
yeah.
these things.
And
they also do this other thing.
Yeah, well, so it's like this, it's like this, like, kind of weird tourist trap island. And it has, like, this memorial to, like, a submarine that sank. It's set in Washington. It's set on an island off of Washington.
We're in Washington.
Yes.
Yeah.
That island doesn't exist.
That island's not a real thing.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of, like, big settled islands off of Washington where the Japanese sunk submarines. But, like, hey, like, fuck it, man. You know, like...
Well, so... We'll get into that.
Anyway, so there's a spooky ghost-like presence that lives on the island. And you get into some troubles. It's sort of this game involves you a lot of like walking around and talking to people and making decisions about the weird creepy things that are happening.
Yeah,
to you.
Sure.
It's kind of a choose your own adventure thing.
So our friend who I think we've said his name already, Brian.
Yeah.
He asked me, you know, Oxenfree, like, I heard about that game. What is that? And I said, Telltale Games presents Stranger Things.
Yeah. Oh.
Was how I put it to him.
Okay.
Yeah. And he and like, someone was in the room who played it. It was neither of you somehow. I think it was our friend Steven. Mm. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's a good description.
So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's about on the money. It's
I mean, like, Telltale Game doesn't make this game. Just want to make that clear. But, like, they're known for their
adventure. That's to emphasize that most of the game
is dialogue. It's like dialogue and decision-based storytelling.
Sure, yeah.
And, like, I think this game is very gorgeous in a way Telltale Games
are. I want to ask a tough question because I've asked both of you guys this off mic. And we'll start with our special guest because special guests go first.
Elise from downstairs.
Elise from downstairs.
So that's how I introduced you on our last episode. Next week we'll have a guest.
Who's your favorite character?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, this is
asked me mid game, and I had a hard time, and I'm still not sure.
Yeah. Oh God. Can you come back to me?
No.
Damn it. Okay. My favorite. I don't want to say Alex because that's me. I give you my favorite character though, right?
Sure. You can pick Alex.
Awesome. I liked her because I think a lot of her options for dialogue were just how she wanted to respond and what she really wanted to be. In regards to in that social setting, they were all pretty good. Sometimes if you want to just straight up be a BZ, you can be a BZ. Other times you can be like, you know what, I kind of want to make this work. Let's do this. I thought she had a lot of range. Her stepbrother kind of annoyed me a little bit. I don't know. He just kind of seemed like, meh, meh, meh.
At what point did you decide, like, that's it, I'm annoyed by you?
I would have to say it was probably within the first, like, third of playing. The first time I played it, I was like, okay, we can be friends. And then it turns out I played it, like, 2 days, I think. Was it 2 days?
You played it in, like, 2 sittings, I think.
Yeah, two sittings. Okay.
Because so, like, before or after the event?
I think it was after the event.
After the event,
yeah, because it was more just, like, I don't know, it became not so much all about him, but at the same time, he just kind of had this, I don't know how to say it.
He's kind of consistently whining.
Whining! That's the word, it's a big word. Yes, he was just a whining, one-dimensional little pansy. Anyway,
sounds like you didn't look for a bunch of apologies.
I didn't.
What's
like
his name
him, but,
for
but
reference?
Jonas.
His
Jonas.
But
Jonas.
The funniest thing was because I liked him the first sitting I had with him. I was like, oh yeah, this guy is cool. And then I'm just like, no.
He's like not quite a meathead, but he's like in a neutral zone approaching meatheadness.
He's doofy. I don't know.
So I actually
he dresses like a high school friend of mine.
I liked him a lot, except for. Yeah, there's a lot of people I know from high school dress like him, or did. Yeah. So there was only 2 points in the game where I found myself disliking him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was the fight he has with Ren in the radio tower,
mm-hmm.
where they both just turn their testosterone on and start being dicks to each other, and it's like,
like,
this is why I'm taking Nona with me.
Yeah,
right?
so
that's
I did that too.
Okay, so yeah, all of us did that.
Yeah.
It was like they ask you, which one of the NPCs are you taking? And it's like, well, I'm taking the one person who's not being an absolute bitch right now.
Right. No, you know what? I think that's a really good point. That's probably the part where I was going, yeah.
And then the second thing that made me not like him was that the redhead, Clarissa, or whatever her name is, likes him. She likes him, and that made me immediately dislike him more, because I don't like her at all.
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
I didn't get that either.
No, because she's like putting out feelers. She's like, oh, like, you know, not like, is he single, but like that, like.
She's just got a thing for Alex's brother.
I guess.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
My fetish is your brother.
Whoever it happens to be.
I don't care who it is.
Well, she's in luck that Alex managed to get a replacement.
Yeah. I just got a new brother in from the shop. Anyway, Owen, who's your favorite character?
So my answer is going to take a little unpacking because he's also my least favorite character.
Oh.
And that is Ren.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I found Ren completely insufferable for the first part of the game.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, we should explain why.
So he has the diarrhea of the mouth.
And he eats magic space brownies before the
event. So actually that
was a very contemptible thing to do.
I too found that very humanizing.
It was not the first brownie, the second brownie.
I found both of them humanizing.
Okay. The second brownie was contemptible.
We were
in like a dangerous situation.
You don't need to make this worse.
Your response is to eat more drugs.
So, at first, I really didn't like him, and so I actually went to...
The word you used was obnoxious.
Yeah, I found him very obnoxious, and so the spooky ghosts get into your friends, and you get to pick which of your friends to go help first. Sure. And so I helped Clarissa, where even though she's like this insufferable bitch, she's not really annoying, so I went and helped her first. And by the time I caught up with Ren again, and he eats that second brownie, I was already like back on his team. They're like, when you get Ren back from the submarine ghosts... he starts like joking around and it diffuses the situation in this way. And he starts doing this annoying thing that's very familiar and it's very like, oh great, my good friend just made this dumb pun and it's like my job to roll my fucking eyes at this guy. And like,
got him. But familiar pattern makes you feel better.
The game just made me feel uncomfortable enough the whole time that I was like, I felt like overwhelmingly happy to see him again, even though I found him really annoying. Yeah. It's like,
He's that friend.
That's like really a complex series of emotions.
Man. Yeah. It occurred to me like while I was playing the game, this is like the first time where like an NPC has like very genuinely felt like a friend rather than it just being an NPC who says nice things to you all the time. Mm. And like, I guess I like them
because you hate and love them at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's
really.
Go ahead. Go.
I was just gonna say like a really irritating security blanket.
Right. Right. Like there's things you love about them, but there's also those things that you have to accept about them, and that's really that works with him a lot.
And I was actually really bummed that I didn't manage to get Ren and Nona to hook up at the end.
Oh yeah,
I didn't both either.
Of them. I did.
Nice.
Yeah, me too.
Nice. I pretty much ironed out why that is, and it's because at the beginning of the game when I found Ren super annoying before I realized I liked
him. You called him out?
Oh, I totally called him out at the bonfire.
I called him out the bonfire too.
Oh really?
Yeah, we talked about this.
Oh okay, maybe.
Yeah, because you were comparing and contrasting. You were like, I told you all my ending states, and they were all like positive, and you were like, but what? And then we compared and contrast on Nona and Ren, because that was like the only one that was
different. Yeah.
And you're like, did you do this? And I was like, yeah, like I called him out on the bonfire to make it even.
Mm-hmm.
To like, because if he sees her reaction is also like, I don't know, you know. Yeah. They were playing,
it's like a truth or dare.
Yeah, they were playing
it's
a truth or dare.
Truth or slap.
Yeah. It's like slap bet truth or dare, and we straight up asked both of them, like, do you like this person? Do you like that person?
I want to mention, when truth or slap comes up, when they're like, yeah, we should play truth or slap, one of your dialogue options is like, isn't it truth or dare? Like, and I liked that because as a player, you could be like, well, that's, why'd you say that dumb thing?
Yeah.
And then it gives them an option to explain it. And they're like, well, because, like, being slapped is worse than a dare.
I noticed that a lot of the times with the three dialogue options, you end up gaining information from that about what's, like, her perception
and
the situation is. But you don't necessarily always have to, like, pick that option. Like, when she said, don't you mean truth or dare? I was like, oh, it's a truth or dare thing. And then I moved on and picked a different one, right? So I'm also gesturing with my hands.
I think we all do that.
Naturally. They're almost like thought bubbles in her head. Even if you don't pick one of those options that comes up, you are still being informed about what Alex thinks and what you as the player should know about the situation contextually that you can't know because you haven't been Alex for your whole life.
Right. And the other thing that's interesting is when the situation is highly emotional, that goes out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, it's just like, what? How? Fuck you! Or, like, your options.
Little one-word answers and stuff like
and
that.
Yeah, and so, like, I really like that situationally it totally matters. And then the times I couldn't pick one, the game just fades it out.
I was just gonna say that.
And I end up in this situation where I'm like, I guess I have to accept that they're just like bummed I didn't say anything, and that put me in a weird like position too.
You guys know that I am a video game like fracker. I juice every single ounce of content out of the game. Right. This was the first game I've played in. Oh God, I'd say like a decade where I was comfortable in those situations where like you just let the dialogue trail off and you don't say anything. There were certain situations where I was like, Alex doesn't need to say a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Anytime a dialogue option comes up, you're almost always given three options And, like, the fourth hidden button, the secret button, is to not push a button.
Yeah.
And, like, not saying something in a conversation can have as much effect as one of
them. There was a number of times where Clarissa was talking at me, and I would just be like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
all it's going to do is start a fight, and I'm like, I'm not into that.
Walking away.
So that's interesting, because literally walking away. It's funny, because I literally played that game the way I would be, and... Yeah. Every time. Something back at her. Like, you know, fuck you, quit it.
Right. Because I'm always telling you to stop talking.
No, I know, I know. And that's why I'm laughing.
The stupid kids in the video game.
That's why I'm laughing about it. It's like, that says a lot about me as a player that I was like, hey, bitch, shut up. Every time she's being a bitch about it. Like,
you're just like using clap emojis at her.
Yeah.
So, I guess we should explain part of the narrative of this game is you go into the spooky cave.
Yeah.
Where kids drink and make out on this island.
Yes.
And stack rocks.
And rocks.
Yeah.
And so this is an island where there's lots of mysterious radio signals that seem to come from nowhere and whatever. And like that's like kind of like the local myth and legend. And Ren tells you, like, hey, if you go over where the locals stack these rocks and you tune your radio, you can hear a spooky thing. And you go over to the cave and you do it, and this little white triangle appears in the air, and it, like, makes creepy radio noises. Mm-hmm. And you go to the next one, and you do the next, and you do the next. And these three triangles make a point, and I don't know what it is.
They make, like a triangle in space.
Yeah. Yes.
From each one.
Yeah, yes. And, like, spooky lights come out of the cave.
Spooky lights.
And so you sort of...
Your doofus stepbrother Jonas crawls in the cave.
Yeah, you go in the cave and
you're like, I gotta get him.
Yeah.
Responsible.
You go dial up another one of these.
Like, the plan was always to go in the cave. He just did it. He just went.
The Goonies just dives in for you. Like,
yeah.
And
so when you're in the cave, you manage to run into another one of these and everyone, like, blacks out.
Yeah.
And you
wake
up.
And teleports.
Yeah.
And so you wake up, just you and your stepbrother. And your two friends, or three friends, friends, this is Clarissa we're talking about here. Clarissa, Nona, and Ren have been separated from you.
And you end up in a field, like, 1,000 yards away.
Yeah, very far
past
away from
past an electric fence, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and so it's up to you. Yeah, past an electric fence that, like, you have to take steps to, like, turn off.
We're talking, like, Jurassic Park electric fence.
Yeah, he even makes
the dinosaur joke. But, like, I wanted to, like, get the visual in there because it looks like that in the game, too. It's the big cables and the Y at the top.
And you stumble around the island and disembodied voices and glowing triangles and sinister red light.
Time loops.
Oh,
yeah.
That's the worst.
And Jonas is the Dr. Crusher of time loops and sucks terribly at them.
Dude, I love his discomfort at not being able to realize.
Hey, time loop! And he's like,
It is very refreshing to have a character, like an NPC in a video game, you're like, dude, we're in a time loop. And the NPC is like, okay.
Yeah, I believe you.
This is how I feel about that. Like, I believe you. You know, because every single time anything like that happens in a video game and you tell an NPC, the NPC's like, that's not true.
Yeah, no, the first third of the conversation is put the glasses on.
Yeah. Or put the glasses on, I'm punching you. Yes. Yeah,
or exactly. like in all media, you know, like
Like
in Star Trek, there's a time loop episode and someone says, we're in a time loop, and everyone goes, no, that's crazy. Back to work.
Yeah.
You know.
But then you get to hear, no, that's crazy, back to work.
Put the glasses on, that's a reference to
They Live.
Yeah.
Mr.
Armitage is not wanting to put the.
So there's a scene in that. So that movie is all about.
It's challenging perception, and he's like asking him to put on these glasses that like strip away the ideology from things you're looking at. So like the ad will just say its message in plain text instead of having
just like consume,
breed and reproduce, right? And so he's like, hey, best friend, put these glasses on. His best friend's like, fuck no, and they have like a 15-minute long fist fight. It's like really egregious.
It's really great because like the movie has a dumb pro wrestler and it is the main character, and he beats up Keith David. But the thing about the scene
Thank
that's
you for
cool.
The main beat.
Who's the wrestler?
It's Rowdy Piper.
Okay, yes.
So the thing about that scene that's great is that like it's the Hollywood version of like a long philosophical conversation, but instead they're just beating the shit out of each other in an alley.
Because he's like, you need to do this thing that's ideologically uncomfortable for you, and he's like, no. They just fight instead.
Right. Like instead of having that like 2-hour conversation where they stab at each other.
So again, it's refreshing.
Words.
It's refreshing that an NPC in a video game, you're like, hey man, a paranormal event is happening that you're unaware of, and they're like,
yep,
okay. and
then he gets frustrated.
He gets frustrated, and he's like, that sucks that I like can't experience this the way you are.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Anyway, favorite character, Kenan.
So you came in and asked me like
midway through. I think your answer was Alex last time, but you finished the game now, so
So my answer for you midway through, I think, is important to my final answer, which is I don't really like anyone at that point. I found everyone, like, deplorable or not enough.
You were opening the bunker.
Ooh. I think that's where we were going when you asked me that question. And, like, by way of the fight that we talked about in the radio tower and Clarissa being a huge bitch and killing herself in front of me and a couple of other things.
Oh, yeah. She does some stuff.
She gets inhabited by the ghost.
She doesn't actually kill herself.
Yeah, she doesn't.
Yo, whatever.
Which, so, by the way, if you haven't realized by now, spoilers!
Yeah.
Yes.
Every episode of this podcast has a spoilers tag on it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't listen to our podcast if you don't want to hear about the game we're talking about that week.
Yeah, so take that, listeners. All two of you.
Their names are?
Corey and Trevor.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say Troy. Sorry.
Nah.
It just sounds good. Troy and Trevor.
There we go. Done.
Troy and Trevor!
My favorite people. Sorry, guys.
So, like, by the end...
I didn't like Brack saying that.
Crying Trevor!
I'm not sure, like, I have an answer except to say, like, Nona, because she doesn't start shit. Like, everyone else has something in that game that, like, pissed me off. And Nona's just, like, sad, crying, freaking out in the woods, and then, like, totally chill the rest of the game. Like, there's nothing about her that I found... like, vexing.
Inoffensive.
Yeah, like, everyone else was frustrating on some level, and I was like, shut up, go away.
She's the halo of teens.
Yeah, she's just, like,
nothing wrong with
totally
her.
Agreeable. You know,
my answer is also Nona.
Okay.
But mostly because she says epiphany, and I can't get that, like, series of syllables out of my head.
There's a zone in the game called Epiphany Fields. It's where you wake up and realize what's going on, and... I'm sure that there's some...
Which, let's flog you over the head with that.
Yeah, but she calls it Epiphany Fields.
Yeah, she's like, we need to go to Epiphany Fields. Epiphany Fields? And, like, no one has the heart to correct her. And I love that. Except Alex, if you choose to be, as you said, BZ.
Yeah.
Yo. So it sounds like a lot of people were consistent with Alex. And I feel like I wasn't.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of times when you're talking about the emotional, like, it gets really scary. It's just like, oh, shit, I don't know. You just kind of, like, gut reaction.
Right.
And I think that's really cool because if you don't choose, it's going to choose for you.
Right.
And I don't know. So
Michael, what do you want to do right now? I want to break up.
Yeah, exactly. It's just absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I couldn't say that I was, like, a character playing Alex or playing the character of Alex. It was more just me being like, I don't fucking know. There's this spooky stuff happening. Just, let's get through this. But I wasn't always a BZ. So there we go.
So I feel like my Alex is a really complicated individual because in the really spooky parts, she's super nice to people. Oh. But then the minute anyone verbally stabs anyone, they get stabbed back.
you're just a prickly person who's cool under pressure.
Right. And then,
okay, let's not make this work.
I feel like that's like your Matrix version of yourself.
Kind of. So that's, like, really interesting. Like, now I'm introspecting because of how I acted in the game. But then, like, anytime someone needs, like, you know, that, like, nice statement or anything like that, like, I'm right there. I'm like, yeah, make them feel, like, better.
Hey, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to aggressively mother you.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so, like, it's super funny for me thinking about it because, like, there's so few that I missed. And then when I missed them, I was, like, kind of sad that I didn't
say it. Is it, like, restart the game? I didn't
know Da Vinci level? God damn it. I'm still regretting
it. I still am sad. Like, I went back and I did it. And I did hug Da Vinci. And I'm still sad.
No, I let it go.
Oh.
So to fill everyone in.
Yeah, please.
In Assassin's Creed 2, you're a guy in Italy and one of your friends is Da Vinci, and there's this really, really fast, like, 2-second window where you can hit a button to hug him when he goes in for a hug.
After like a 45-minute mission.
Okay.
So, like, it's out of nowhere, it's one of the only ones in the game where there's, like, this one quick option to do something in the dialogue.
The whole game.
And so it's one of those things that, like, if you played that game and you missed it, you're like, I didn't hug Da Vinci. Like, it feels like this injustice.
And he gets real bummed.
Yeah,
and he's like your friend. And he obviously is sad, if you know.
Yeah, and so, like, it's the, like, there were moments where I could tell immediately after I hadn't said anything, where the character sort of, like, mumbles out of the conversation. I'm like, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I should have said something. Mm-hmm. You know, and, like, it's weird because Yeah, I definitely played Alex like me.
Which I think that's kind of what you're supposed to do.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I did want to mention something. So right before you go into the bunker, all your friends who are still with you, like, line up outside, right? And you're supposed to have, like, final conversation with them.
Yes.
I was going into the bunker as they did those animations. Did that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, it's the, like, talking to all the NPCs before the final battle in a BioWare game.
Matt, you know what you missed?
Oh, man.
You missed hugging all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, there's literally a bunch.
I'm sorry to do that to you. No, it's fine because
it just felt so good.
Like the game explicitly told me that I had a good relationship with Clarissa, a good relationship with Jonas, and what? Mona and Ren got together. It explicitly told me these
how
things after I beat the game. There's like
those?
A stat screen.
I am a failure.
She just meant how did you spin all those plates?
No, how did you spin your plates, sir?
Oh, I acted like me. I don't know.
You're just a good person. Okay.
Yeah, this game is shown that Matt is the best of the four of us.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I am a video game fracker. Like.
Because Jonas,
you get in there and ruin the groundwater. Yeah. I guess you.
I felt badly that I was not.
Like what objectives of those did you not?
I didn't get Jonas. We weren't close, and
really?
I was bummed about that because even though I was kind of like, oh, you annoy me. Oh shit, I kind of want to be your friend.
Sure.
But I was great friends with Clarissa, and I'm like, I didn't really care about you.
So the nice. One time I like. You know, gave the shove to Jonas and was like, hey, was when he was being a dick to Ren. But later you have an opportunity to say, like, hey, are we cool? And, like, we had this little, like, moment afterwards.
I did that and it didn't happen.
I thought we did all those things.
Sure.
I'm not saying
that's, like, the trigger, but I'm saying, like, the rest of the time we were cool.
I thought we were cool, too, but then at the end he's like, sometimes we see each other and that's cool.
Yeah, I got
and
that
I'm
one.
And I'm just like, ugh. I felt like,
ooh. I see him mostly at Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And I was like,
oh, I think I got that too. Yeah.
Well, like, my team photo was just everybody hugging.
No, I didn't
yay
get that.
Yay for you and your happy time.
Maybe
sure.
Maybe the trick is to not hug them before you go in the bunker.
Make them want it. Like my sister told me, you gotta act like you don't care. Like, but I care so much.
So, we've spent a lot of time talking about the character relationships, and we've spent almost no time talking about the spooky submarine ghosts.
Oh, yeah, I want you to talk about your theory about the end of the game.
Okay, but can I interject?
No.
As the resident submarine expert?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, please lay it on us.
You don't have 85 officers and 12 enlisted men. That's terrible, and I got that wrong on the quiz because I didn't pay attention at the beginning of the game.
I wasn't ready for a quiz. It just kind of got sprung on me. No one's ready for the quiz.
I actually want to say I actually got every single quiz question wrong.
Yeah, everyone wrong?
What happened?
Every single quiz question wrong on both quizzes. Nothing bad happened.
Really? Ugh. I was so stressed out about that.
I got the quiz wrong, and then Clarissa kills herself.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, Owen, did she die because I got that quiz wrong?
Yeah.
And Owen's like, no, she dies all the time. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that weighing on me for a while, and then she showed up all red and spooky again. I was like, oh, it's like this.
Top of a
street lamp. Yeah.
Fuck, okay.
So I have this theory. So we have these ghost-like figures, like, interceding and fucking with us, and they make it pretty clear in their like disjointed speech. They speak as like a gestalt of voices. Mm-hmm. Like different voices will jump in at different times and like talk at you in a very angry way. And they like they want to get off the island. It sounds like they want to snatch your bodies.
That's their like ticket.
They want to take one or more of you and your friends' bodies.
It sounds like one is minimum, but like more would be
trying
preferred.
To catch a ride.
Yeah,
out.
One, yeah.
Like, because at one point they're like, hey, can we have Clarissa? And you're like, no.
I kind of just wanted to give.
I was tempted, but I was like, that's not right.
4% of the player base has taken that option. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This game features time loops heavily. At the end of the game, even though you get an epilogue that talks about like you going off to college or you getting a job and like living your life or whatever, the game legit just does a time loop at the end, like it's been doing the whole game, and puts you back on the ferry, heading to the island with your friends, and your character's like, what just happened? And they're like, yeah, we're going out to go drink at the bonfire, guys!
So the whole game is
game's this time loop, and so, like, my hypothesis is not that they're, like, ghosts in, like, the good old-fashioned ghost story sense, but that they are some people that were rolling around in a submarine, and they encountered this phenomenon, and we don't get to know what that is, or what its nature is, or where it comes from.
The event.
And it kills them, it destroys their submarine, and also, in a certain sense, traps them out of time, and, like, loops them
right
in.
And then you're experiencing, like, the and residual.
So, yeah, and so you, Alex, your character is also trapped, looping with them.
Okay.
But I think
this theory has a lot of credence.
But it's almost like a splintering realities of things, because, like, Alex goes off and lives her other life. In the epilogue, it says, like, you have the choice. Like, you say you go off to college, or you get a job, or you take some time for yourself. Those are the options it gives you at the end. So it's clear that some version of Alex has gone off and lived her life, but also Alex is stuck with them. And also, I only played a little bit of the New Game Plus, but when you're playing the New Game Plus, the first time you encounter the spooky ghost voice, or it was when you played it.
Yeah.
When Elise was playing the New Game Plus, the Gestalt of voices, Alex's voice is in there.
Yeah,
like she's one of the voices that's trapped on the island.
So that makes sense with the way my game ended, because there was a point towards the end in the bunker where they were like, "You're stuck here now too."
Yep.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Well, at least I saved my friends."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna make myself feel better about this."
Like, and then you don't understand. You're stuck here too,
right? So it ends in this sort of part of you,
or it's just.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, or it's just a splintering reality. Yeah. It's an alternate reality of you.
Oh God, I want to talk about Amanda Hightcastle now. Oh, we're not going to. It's okay.
What was I going to say?
Song of relates.
So they're like not literally ghosts in like the old ghost story sense, but they're ghosts in like a very figurative way. That you know they're these trapped yeah. minds.
Well, they're not
in the way that like Ghost in the Shell uses the word ghost.
Yeah,
they're not ghosts to be solved the way a lot of literature. Like,
they're
not justice ghosts.
Yeah,
it's not like you go burn the body and the ghost is gone,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
like,
they don't have the ghost.
You can't go burn the submarine and the ghosts are gone. Like,
well,
catch up that submarine.
Maybe. Did you guys notice that they lean actually like more into the triangles as a symbol for ghosts than I first appreciated when I was watching. So I finished the game in Elise watched part of my playthrough, and then I watched part of Elise's playthrough, and you finished it without me.
Yeah.
And on your playthrough, I noticed that the section of the cave where you first like open that rift and you black out and you wake up in the Lipthany Fields or whatever.
Fippany.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's like Apothecary.
Yeah, yeah. Apothecary. There we go.
Hopty-clopta.
Yeah.
Are we going to out someone on Apothecary? Or are we just going to let that one
No, sit? We're just going to slide it, man. I am not outing another professional.
Anyway, so I noticed that specifically that segment of the cave is triangular opening.
I'll tell you later.
It's just two big sloped ceilings, like it's a triangular room.
Yeah.
And then also there's one of the small
triangulated radio signal.
Yeah, you triangulated radio
locks
signal.
Are triangular.
Yeah, all the locks are. There's one of the shacks that has triangular windows, and I remember when I came up on that shack, it's like, we need to go in there and do a thing for the plot. And I'm like, I am not going in there. I see those windows. I am upset.
I see that triangle.
Talk about red. Yeah. Well, I was just getting to that. So we go into that building, and like we turn on a lamp, and like later, like red light starts coming out of the lamp, and it's like, Jonas, we need to get out of this room. I don't like it. This is upsetting. Like red is like this visual theme across the whole thing. Like Clarissa has red hair. All the different characters have different color-coded speech bubbles to their characters.
Her speech is red.
Do you have a board in the other room with some strings and some push pads?
No, it's all up here, man.
Okay.
It's all up here.
Yeah. So that way they can't get to
Owen
it.
Hasn't started smoking yet.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Clarissa has red hair, and she's possessed through most of the game and used as the mouthpiece.
Dies a lot.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
Yeah, the way those conversations end is she dies.
Yeah, she gets her blood all over the place. So yeah, like those were the two visual things. The triangles. Oh, and also at the end, there's like a section where you have this flashback. So we've also barely touched on this. Alex has a brother who has died recently.
Oh yeah, that.
Yes.
And her mother has remarried, and she has a stepbrother. That's Jonas that we've been talking about.
Right. And part of the reason Clarissa's such a bitch is because she dated your brother.
Michael, isn't that his name?
Michael.
Yeah.
Michael.
So there's a
And thinks you're responsible.
There's a part, so this ties into my theory about ghosts and triangles. There's a, yeah.
Pepe Silvio. Pepe Silvio.
No, that's his band name.
Yeah.
My theory about Ghosts and Triangles.
So
that's an album.
There's like a flashback, though, where you're like in, you start in your bedroom and you go into Michael's bedroom and you like talk to him in the past.
And his room's a fucking triangle.
His room's a triangle. Oh, like shit. Because Michael's dead and he's like, for all intents and purposes, he's a figurative ghost in this, you know, like, I'm not trying to like make some like great meaning out of this, but like that's just like, that's like its visual language. That's its signifier. Like Michael's a dead person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
This is true. Yeah. I would play it again, or I should actually just finish that game.
Oh, yeah, do the new game plus. I kind of want to do that, too. I was.
Well, there's, like, new dialogue and stuff.
Right? Yeah, there's a ton.
Definitely.
So, like, the thing about Alex being trapped there, the first time you talk to the ghosts, they address you like, huh, you're still here. You're still on the island. And you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you're like, man? I don't, that doesn't make any sense.
That's just your opinion.
So, I want to talk about Owen. You were saying you had a very emotional reaction to the color red.
Yeah.
Right? Like, every time you saw red, you were like, spooky shit.
Yeah.
So for me, like, until they forced Clarissa to, like, kill herself in a fugue state or a time loop or whatever it was.
Or not.
Or not. I don't know. Or whatever. Until they did that, I actually considered the ghosts to be, like, somewhat helpful. Like, there was maybe two, because that's always, like, that's the
they were, like, luring you
in. There's, like, two different, like, you know, phenomena going on here. I considered the ghosts separate from the time loops. So, like, the time loops are happening, and the ghosts are, like, trying to help me out of it. Because every time you meet the ghosts, you like, time loop first, then ghosts, then you're out, right? So, like, for me, it was, like, I'm gonna do whatever the ghosts
ask me to do.
Ghosts
are the trigger to get you
out.
Yeah,
like, every time, so, like, for me, every time I saw the color red, I was like, let's do this.
Just pop your radio out and be like, I'm all fine.
Yeah, man. I'd be like, flip my radio out. Like
I wonder
go.
If that's, if them being helpful earlier is a part of, so like, they're like this gestalt of all the people that are trapped in whatever, the time loop triangle phenomenon.
Well, that was just how we took it. I don't know if that's
Hold on, though. Like, so the old lady who lives on the island, there's an old woman who's lived on the island for a long time. And it's sort of revealed over the course of the game that she kind of knows what's going on.
Yeah.
She's
got, like, a bunker.
Yeah, she's got a little bunker, and she's privy to the spooky triangle submarine ghosts.
And is, like, being shut up for some reason.
Yeah, and her friend was killed. Her friend, it sounds like the ghost tried to take her friend's body. And something went wrong. It didn't work. Like, her friend just died.
Oh, yeah, because the ghosts mention it later.
They're like, oh, yeah, we did that, and we kind of did a wrong calculation. They specifically said that they did it too fast. And overloaded it or something.
Yeah, like her head exploded or something. Like, who knows? I wonder, like, so it would surprise me if this weren't the case, that the old woman on the island isn't part of that gestalt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right, like, she's here trying to fix the problem of her friend dying.
And she's someone who, like, when she was getting old, like, started, like, laying the groundwork, like, hey, if anyone comes here, here's what you need to do. Like, she put little caches of clues.
I'm glad we're getting to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I wanted to ask, did anyone dive into that?
No. I found one clue.
So I got one out of the radio. So the way it works in the game is you have to go through this lady's house to a boat to get off the island.
Mm-hmm.
And
which I thought was the end of the game.
Which,
right?
Yeah. I mean, at the time, that's how it comes
off. So you end up breaking into the ranger station, taking the key to get to her house.
Uh-huh.
And what the key ends up being is a new... So you've been carrying around this little FM radio in your pocket. And it only goes
which
to, like...
told you to bring
by. Yeah. It only goes to, like, 89 to 110 on the dial.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you guys, but I ran into one of the doors and a like letter that mentioned you need to go to 60.8, and then Alex goes, well, that's not on my dial, and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess there's something later.
Yeah.
So, you bust into the ranger station, and the key, air quotes, is this magic radio they've been developing on the island.
Well, it's not even magic, it's just a radio, right?
But it just has more frequency?
The characters refer to it as a magic radio, so I'm rolling
with it.
They're
idiots.
They
also call the submarine a nuclear submarine.
And they also say the Japanese sunk it when it got sunk by... they don't... Like, they're just mistaken on this one, but it, like, the cover story is the Japanese sunk it, but it was actually sunk, like, friendly fire.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, they sent it out, and it had this really powerful radio on it, and it was doing something, and then, like, home base didn't like what it was doing, and was like, hey, we don't like what you're doing, stop it, and they didn't, and so they shot it with torpedoes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we should mention that the...
I never found that.
That the island was home to the largest radio antenna in that's the world?
Right. Yeah, it was like super powerful antenna.
Yeah, so that like has something to do with the phenomena that are happening here. But you get this new radio that the dial goes to like 50 and 150.
Yeah.
And it's also the key to a bunch of locks around the island.
Yeah, all the locks
are. You can shoot little radio waves at doors and they unlock sometimes.
Yeah. So once you have this radio, it tells you, like, and you go to the lady's house, she has set up her own radio station that gives out clues about the island if you want to solve it.
Yeah.
And I only ever got one, and it was about turning the light on for people who come home, for sailors who come home. And I couldn't figure, I assumed that was the lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't figure out how to turn the lighthouse on, so I moved on. So I wanted to know if anyone had gone any deeper.
I found two
on that and weird meta game.
The second one was the thing I just told you, which was the friendly firefight.
Interesting. So, okay.
So maybe it's.
And I only got that because it was like a wall of text, and I was near the bunker segment, and it was like 11, and I was like trying to get done
with
the game, and it was like. Alex started saying, "Oh my god, friendly fire!" And I was like, "Cool, that's all I need to know. I'm gonna go kill these aliens." You know, like.
So maybe it starts like.
It doesn't matter. It's like, na 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 na. Hey hey, fuck aliens! Like, that's what time it is, right? So.
Perfect.
So maybe it helps explain the situation better if you go through that chain.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm definitely gonna play this game some more, and I highly recommend that our two listeners, Corey and Trevor, do that as well. I'm sorry.
Troy and Krever.
Yes, Troy and Krever. I could Krever. Not do that for a second. All right,
Krever sounds like a dirty name.
Yeah.
Sorry, Krever.
There's like, it's maybe that's a segment, like, word that makes us uncomfortable, because last week it was Krever. Gunt.
Oh. How did that come up?
Steven said the word gunt to me, and I went, grrr. Yeah.
Mm, yes. G-U-N-T?
Yeah, it's a portmanteau.
I got that two words together, but... Guy?
No.
No. Sorry. I got the second part.
It's gut and
yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Why is this word?
So can we please?
No, it makes you uncomfortable. Please tell me why.
I don't want to do this anymore.
I don't want to play.
Yeah, exactly. So does anyone have anything else they want to say about this game?
It's very good. It is on Steam.
Yeah.
I believe it is $20.
$20.
Yeah. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all
Do
I got.
Do you have anything else to say from downstairs?
Yes, from at least from downstairs.
From downstairs!
Yeah, that's how I was doing it. Grocery in from half court.
Definitely play it. You might get uncomfortable, but work through the uncomfortable.
I got legitimately spooked at certain points.
Don't rush through it.
You were saying, what's the optimal play environment?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I was going to say, and this is something I think
smoking,
also...
Smoking, drinking?
No, yeah, yeah. if you smoke, do
smoking,
that too.
Drinking with a corkboard nearby.
Yeah, yes. Well, what I was going to say is like that. This applies equally to Kentucky Route Zero. It's like, play it in the dark. Not because, like, you're gonna, like, pee your pants scared, but just, like,
nah,
it creates a nice ambiance.
Yeah.
Like,
you get embedded better.
Drink a beer or two, or, like, some wine, or, like, if you smoke, like, I don't know, probably do that, but also don't smoke.
yeah, don't smoke.
Yeah.
We care about you.
But yeah.
Troy and Krever.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, set a good ambiance for it. It's like a real...
Oh, D and Bavor!
Jesus, man.
But yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, if you were sitting here doing it with your lights on, like if we were playing it right now with our lights on, because the lights
so,
are all on.
So, at least when I play it in my living room, where I use a projector, which necessitates it being dark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is great for the game.
Well, all the lights are on because people need to be able to see our hand gestures at home.
Yeah.
This is so true. Yeah. Hi. I'm waving to you.
If you can't see our hand gestures...
You need to drink more beer.
No. Email us and we'll turn the lights up next time.
Oh, we'll send you a hand gesture.
Yeah. Email us at this web zone.
Anyway, on...
Speaking of emails.
Speaking of emails...
Don't we have an email address?
Well, that's later, but
we don't have one yet.
What's the dumbest thing that happened in wrestling this week, Keenan?
Are you going to let us down again?
No.
Okay,
because there was nothing last week.
So, I went to SmackDown Live at Key Arena this week. They were in town. Mm-hmm. And they did this...
The SmackDowns?
The SmackDowns. All of them. The whole family. There was this really big multiple
I'm John
tag
SmackDown.
Yeah, let's keep interrupting the man.
So there was this really big match with all of their tag team groups that don't do anything on that show. Mm-hmm. And there's six groups, all of whom are great in their own ways, except for the two that aren't. And there's a couple of fellows named Connor and Victor, and they are the Ascension, in air quotes. And what that essentially means is that they think that they are red and black Egyptian punk rockers.
That's the dumbest.
That's the aesthetic. So the dumbest thing is, okay, is that this match is for all the people who they don't know what to do with, and these motherfuckers who haven't been on TV for 3 months won out of nowhere, and there's literally no explanation for why or what they're going to do next.
Okay. I want to learn about this punk rock thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Ancient Egyptian punk rock. Speaking of red ancient Egyptian punk rock, Owen, you own an HTC Vive.
Yes.
And Nailed it. Also own an HTC Vive. Look, it's my thing.
No, you killed it. This is a good segue.
13-point landing.
Yeah, all 13 landing gears touched down at once.
All 13 of them. So we both own HTC Vives, and so we...
So that's a for our listeners at home, that those are virtual reality headsets.
So what virtual reality have you engaged in recently?
I played a game this week called Tiny Wheels. And it is something I bought on Steam for, like, it was, like, $2 or something. And it's, like, when you're a little kid playing with, like, a remote control car. And the car is, like, this big on the ground. It's really cute. And
How big?
Thank you, Matt. Yeah. So I'm gonna hold up my hand so you can see. No, it's like a little Hot Wheels car.
Sure.
Okay. And you put it on the ground, and you can drive around with your controllers, and it handles,
It handles like an RC car.
It handles terribly. No, it doesn't, because it's a video game physics-based thing, so it handles like a really crazy thing. But it handles really badly, but like in a really fantastic way. And then you can also, like, on one of your controllers, you can, like, plop down, like, terrain elements, like ramps and loops and crap, and drive your little shitty car around.
That sounds awesome,
man. Yeah, and, well,
is there a first-person mode for the car?
Wait, is this like Hot Wheels Track Simulator?
Yeah, kind of. There's not a first-person, but you can adjust the scale. So that, like, you can shrink your own perspective down so it looks like a full-sized car.
Okay.
Which is, like, kind of crazy. And, like, make it drive around and crash it. And
that's great.
Yeah.
This sounds really cool.
That's great.
But it has, like, a level of turbo on the car that is, like, only achievable inside a video game.
Like, it's like the level of instant acceleration.
Yeah. Just, like instantaneous acceleration where if there was a passenger in that car, it would just, like, liquefy their organs. And, like, it'll be driving along, and it'll kind of, like, it'll hit a bump, and, like, maybe only one tire will be touching the ground, and that one tire is still just pushing it. And it's just, yeah. And so it's, like, it's not, like, an amazing game or anything, but it was like
definitely worth a dollar.
It was, I can't remember if it was $5 or if it was less than $5, but it was real cheap, and it's real fun to just fuck around in.
Sweet.
Just driving a little stupid RC car.
I finally got Cat Lateral Damage to boot in VR mode.
What is that game?
Cat Lateral Damage is a game where you play as a cat.
Yay.
That knocks things off shelves, and that's like the goal of the game.
You get points for how much shit's on the floor at the end of the game.
I want to play this game.
Checks out. I think we can set you up if you want to play that.
We can make that happen.
Please
anyway,
do.
And then the other thing I've been doing on VR recently is being too scared to play Thumper.
Oh.
Too scared to play
Thumper. Is that too much for you? I mean, that game looks intense.
Yeah. Well, so Thumper is a rhythm game. Made by maniacs.
By super duper prog rock nerds.
Yeah, so it's self-described as bringing the brutality back to music games. And I really like that, but I don't think that I like that, if that makes any sense.
Matt is not a high-stress gaming gamer. He actively avoids it because he recognizes that it makes him yell things at his screen.
Which I already do.
Right, so...
But now the screen's in your face.
There are often things that I will play because I am weird and like to be stressed out by games sometimes.
Really, really like pain.
I'm just high energy all the time. Yeah, it's weird. But I'll be playing stuff and Matt will walk in and be like, I get that you like that, but there's no way I could play that because it would just stress me the fuck out.
Yeah.
And, like, that's...
It's like, I don't even really like Nidhogg.
I dig that you're like, I want to play this game, but it terrifies me. Like, that's great.
Yeah, anyway, that's where I'm at with that. Video game news or video game issues? We had a thing we were going to talk about.
Yeah, there's a thing we were going to talk about. So, Steam,
mm-hmm.
Big video games platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite the be-all end-all of PC game sales, but, like, it's kind of there.
It owns 90% of my game library.
Yeah, for real. So they had a system in place, or still do in the time being, called Greenlight, where people can post games they want to publish to Steam, and if it gets enough votes from the community, it gets put up on the store, people get to sell games they make, and so it's a cool way for small developers, you know, people working out of their bedrooms making games. You
can people sell making it on Steam. Things like Oxenfree.
Yeah, exactly. But this also results in Steam having a jillion things on it, and, like, nobody gets visibility and blah, 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 blah. And also, like, nobody seems to care enough to upvote on Greenlight. And from what I understand, there's also a bit of, like, scamming of getting bot accounts to vote on Greenlight. I'm not 100% about that.
People will, like, duplicate multiple accounts.
Yeah, or do shady, like, paying for upvotes and yada, yada, yada. So
that's not cool.
Yeah, and so Steam...
It was easily abused.
So there's a lot of abuse.
Abuse and also, like disuse. You know, just, yeah. Like, people, like, not using it as intended. And so Steam is, like, transitioning to just having a fee to put your game on Steam. They're demolishing Greenlight and just saying, like, hey, pay this block of money that we haven't stated what it is yet.
Right, so and that's where it's scary.
You can put your game on Steam. And so, like... Like, I saw statistics, and it was like, this is for last year, and it was like...
But don't you get your money back if you make a certain amount of sales?
Yeah, yeah. If you meet a certain bar, you get your money back on the fee, is what they said. But I saw a statistic last year that said, like, something like 70 or 80% of all games on Steam right now were published in 2016. That, like, oh, that's, like, how big of a deal the self-publishing on Steam
yeah,
is.
Yeah, so Steam's weird because it used to be, like, it used to be Valve-only games, and then they started letting other things onto it as a platform.
One Finger Death Punch.
And then, like, in the last 2 years, like, phone games were coming over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so, okay.
Right? So, like, that tells you the same sort of saturation that those markets have.
Yeah, yeah.
So came to Steam in the same way.
A lot of companies taking their already existing phone game, port, like, modifying it so it works on PC, and then just, like, throwing it up on Steam, selling it for a buck.
Make more fart noises.
Yeah. And you can always tell them, because, like, when you boot them up, they have big phone screen buttons and stuff, and all the interface is, like, you could totally play this with, like, a two-button controller, you know?
Dive kick.
So, yeah, it's weird because due to the lack of information, this news is good, bad,
yeah,
right?
It's like either super cool or it's super not cool.
Like we said the other day when we were talking about this, like, it entirely depends on how high that fee is.
Yeah.
Right? Because if the fee is $1,000, that fucking sucks.
Right. If the way they're choosing to curate their games is with a paywall,
if that fee is $50, this is a wonderful change.
Yeah. Or maybe.
I think it will be net positive.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like,
it depends on how low the fee is. Because, like, I think if it's below a certain point, it won't stop people from just, like...
Spamming.
Just funneling in trash.
Sure.
It needs to be high enough to encourage that you're committed to it.
Yeah.
Right? As a developer. Mm-hmm. So.
Anyway, that was an interesting news thing that's happened.
I want you to talk about your recent experience with Dawnguard.
With Dawnguard?
Skyrim.
So we talked about this Skyrim virus that's been going around. It's real bad. You can hear it in Matt's voice. yeah, I started playing Skyrim at Pro of Nothing. I talked about it on the podcast last time, and I bought one of the expansions to Skyrim, and...
Well, you bought both, didn't you?
Yeah, I did buy both. I liked one of them quite a bit.
Because Heartfire doesn't exist.
No, it's... What is that?
Heartfire, where you build your own house.
Is that the Morrowind that... Are you sure not thinking of Tribunal? Because I never played Tribunal.
You're doing, like, a thing.
Okay, so...
You got me.
Yeah.
Knights of the Nine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got me.
So
Horse armor.
So I got this DLC. So you're in this big fantasy adventure world, and I'm doing my fantasy adventure thing. I install the expansion, and a guy comes up and says, like, hey, come over here. We're a society of vampire hunters. Would you like to join us? And I said, like, well, as a vampire, I would love to join you.
Which, first of all, dumb.
Yeah. They don't, like, literally any time I talk to anyone in that game, they go, like, whoa, dude, you're looking kind of pale. Are you sure you're okay? Like, because I'm a creepy vampire man. Yeah.
Right.
And the
conceit being that the only reason they're not actively trying to kill you is because they've never seen a vampire before.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they're not sure what a vampire looks like, but you know who should know that?
The vampire hunters.
The vampire
hunters. So I can only assume they're actually just really shit at their job or have never done it before.
They're actually just a fantasy realm LARP crub.
Yeah, basically. Like, so anyway, so I
they invented crossbows.
So I agreed to join the Dawnguard.
They're really committed.
The Dawnguard are vampire hunter people, and they say, hey, we think vampires are doing something real bad here. And they
Which, to be fair, is true.
Yeah, they point at my map, and I go there, and I go in this spooky cave, and there's vampires, and I kill them. And I find this giant...
because they are alive.
I find this giant stone ritual area, and I turn the stones, and I turn on the thing. It's like a kind of Indiana Jones thing.
Yeah.
And this sarcophagus comes up, and it opens, and there's a vampire woman inside, and she has an Elder Scroll on her back. And the name of this whole series is The Elder Scrolls, and the Elder Scrolls are these powerfully... ludicrously powerful cosmic artifacts that, like, there's only a few of them in the world, and, like, to have even seen one in your life makes you a really important person, quite frankly.
There's two in that game.
There's three.
So I talk to her. I speak to this vampire.
Running out of road, guys.
I speak to this vampire woman, and she first of all, she immediately recognizes I'm a vampire. She's like, "Hey, what's up, vampire?" And I'm like, "Whoa, shh. Be cool. The fuck down. I'm working for vampire hunters.
Be cool about it."
Yeah. And then literally one of the dialogue options I can say is like, "Is that an Elder Scroll on your back?" And she's like, "Yes, but I don't want to talk about it right now." And then, like, literally the next dialogue option I got was like, "I should probably kill you for my boss."
Because he's, like, head vampire hunter.
Yeah, because he's head vampire hunter, and I work for them. And, like...
And you're a vampire hunter, and you're holding an Elder Scroll, so, like, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, at the very least, I should...
But wait, if you kill her, then you'll just be a vampire with an Elder Scroll.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't that be cool?
But, like, but that... Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Absolutely. At the
morally
very least...
objective.
Like, vampire hunting business aside, I should kill her and just take it so I can have the scroll, because, like, that would be cool.
Yeah.
But this is where I broke myself of enjoying Skyrim. And this is not like an epiphany moment, but it was just like, it was like one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, that's right. This is the game I'm playing where if you attack this character and reduce their hit points to zero, they just sort of fall on the ground onto one knee and then get up again after a minute because
she'd be like, "Hey, let's go to my house."
Yeah, she's an essential character. She's so integral to the plot that you cannot kill her. Mm. And you have to carry out this story quest of returning her to her den of vampires.
Boo.
Just so that you can be given this option of working for the vampire hunters, the Dawnguard, or the... Clan Markov or whatever the fuck they're called.
Yeah. Even though you've presumably already thrown your lot in with the vampire hunters?
Yeah. And it's like, there's not actually like a good story reason why I should like help her escape.
But the DLC demands that you be presented with both options before you make a decision.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so like...
You couldn't possibly be expected to make a decision without absolutely perfect information.
And so this isn't like a mind-blowing revelation to me about how Bethesda makes their games, but it was just like one of those things I crashed into this wall again. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. That's how they do things. I don't get to make my own decision about how this happens. I have to be led by the hand of the story.
It seems kind of like they're guiding you. Like, these are your options.
Yeah,
these are the things you want.
You're being pulled by your finger along.
Okay.
And so that is how I learned to stop playing Skyrim this time.
How long do you think this will last?
Probably a couple years.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Alright.
I just realized why I don't need to play Skyrim. Because Skyrim writing, Bethesda writing, and pro wrestling writing are exactly the same. I already get that. I already get told what I want.
You don't need more of that.
Yeah, anyway. So it's fine.
Wait, they got Egyptian punk rockers in Skyrim?
Yeah.
It's a great mod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really great when Connor yells, "Welcome to the Wasteland." It's good.
So, anyway, that's we're Bethesda.
Yeah. Yeah. Pro Simon Vicklund. Con, like, down on Bethesda.
We sound like terrible people when we live.
No, hey, shut up.
Well, it was like I was screaming at that girl at the bar last night. Bethesda is shit.
Oh.
I believe that you did that.
And with that, Keenan, where can they find you?
At Savory Scrimp on Twitter. Okay. Scrimp is S-C-R-I-M-P.
Oh, where can they find you? Do you want to be found?
I want to be found. You can find my Twitter. I never tweet things. I occasionally retweet things that I think are funny. You can find me at O'Harriman. That's H-E-R-R-I-M-A-N.
Elise, do you want to be found?
Sure. Okay. I'm on the Face Space.
Excellent.
So all right. That's how amazing I am. I'm Alizé Lone Wolf. Alizé, like the awesome rum.
Nice.
Drink. Nice. And Lone Wolf, like, that's what the fuck I am. So okay. There you go.
I dig.
Lone Wolf. Yep.
And you people can find me here, because I don't want to be found anywhere else, because Twitter sucks. All right.
Twitter's something.
All right, and
our lovely president's on it.
And what are we kill playing? Now. What
it's actually just his interns. Owen, what there's an in between that gets yelled at.
Can you do a StarCraft?
Yeah.
All right, you did that one already.
I'm going.
There we go. All right. what are we playing next week?
I believe we agreed on playing Duskers.
Duskers. And what the fuck is Duskers?
Yeah, what is
Keenan, what is Duskers?
What the fuck is
I
Duskers?
I have no idea.
Keenan, the only person who doesn't know. What is Duskers?
I saw it on your screen at one point.
And you said, that looks cool.
It looked like asteroids?
It's not.
Then I have the wrong game.
So anyway,
I think I talked about Kyle
on the podcast yet?
I don't know.
Okay, so Kyle is a friend of mine, Kyle Rheimgarten. He makes video games. But like tiny video games.
At Game Jams?
Game Jam video games.
He powerhouses
those. And he makes video games with his children, and he's a wonderful person. And I asked him for suggestions, and he suggested Duskers. And Duskers is a video game where you play as a person piloting drones on the inside of wrecked starships, and you're trying to figure out why those starships are all wrecked. And that sounds great. So like we're gonna do it.
Drone starship wreck forensics game.
Yeah. And I was asking, do you ever just have a normal camera on the drone? He's like, no, never. You're always looking through a filter, so you're always only EM or only thermal, and so it sounds really cool.
Okay.
Like information filtering.
This is puzzly sort of stuff.
I don't know. We'll see.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
I remember that better now, but I remember the wrong game in the series of games we were looking at.
Yeah, I want to know about the asteroids.
There was one that looked like asteroids a lot, and that's the one that visually stuck with me.
Yeah. And lastly, Bad Playstyle has two places you can reach us at if you want to tell us about things you think about our show.
Yeah, or ask us questions.
Or ask us questions, or more likely than any of those things, have corrections for us about the dumb things we say.
Oh, this is true.
We can be reached at Bad Playstyle
What was it? It's Bad Playstyle at...
gmail.com, because we're... professional shop here. And we also have a subreddit if you want to talk with the other listener about things we say.
Dude, they probably live together. Anyway.
It's a subreddit of a reddit.com/r/badplaystyle.
Thank you, CTO Owen. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah.
Take us out.
Bye.
Music is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.